Tēnā koutou te whānau o Auckland Unitarian. Tēnā koutou ngā manuhiri. Nau mai, haere mai. Ki tēnei whare karakia o te atua. Tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou, katoa. We welcome you into this space made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for over 120 years. This includes those of you who are joining us online, or those who may be watching this at a later date. My name is Ruby and I will be leading the service today. For those of you in the building with us, please join us after the service for morning tea. It is our sacrament of hospitality. Today's opening words are by Kirk D. Lodeman Copeland. We are called to gather and worship as a beloved community. We are called to set aside distractions and anxieties that we might touch deeper springs and be renewed. We are called to seek and to share comfort for the hurts that afflict. We are called to desire more love, more justice, and more life abundant. We are called to truth, to mercy, to humility, and to courage. Let us answer the call with the yes of our lives. Okay, pick on someone. Let's see. Who hasn't done this in a while? Kate. Kate's nodding at me, there you go. We've checked the lighter. It works.
Okay.
Today's chalice lighting words are by Atticus Palmer. We call this light before us in hope that we may always remain a strong community, working together to make the world a better place. When we are grieving or sad, when we are challenged, when we need help, this flame guides us out of darkness. When we are cheerful, when we celebrate, when we accomplish a great task, when we return to a place that makes us happy, the chalice reminds us to share our happiness with others. Please join me in reciting the covenant of our congregation. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony, thus to be covenant with each other and with our God. Now join me in welcoming our guest speaker, Peter Linehan, with a main talk which was tentatively titled Finding Your Home in the Church Community.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be with you this morning and to talk on an interesting and, I think, quite a vital topic. I was reading the other day online the Washington Post and came across a really interesting article. It was entitled, I Left the Church, I Want a Church for the Nuns. By nuns, N-O-N-E-S, you understand. So this is the story of a person who had been, like a lot of people, this is happening big scale in America and has happened in the past in New Zealand already, that a lot of people who once were very involved in church have dropped out. And the author of this article, Perry Bacon, is exactly one of these peoples. And what he's intrigued is this, that it's not that he's stopped believing, but it's that he's just stopped wanting to be part of the church. And he blames Trump. I mean, Trump is generally used in America as an explanation for everything. but it kind of symbolizes the way in which the church has become a certain sort of thing. You know, very conservative, very reactionary, very intolerant and mean. And so he wants nothing to do with that kind of church. But the trouble is, he's got a 3-year-old in the family, and he's kind of worried that church was so important for him as a boy. It gave him a context of growing up. It gave him a sense of purpose and identity. How's this going to happen for his I'm not sure whether it's a son or a daughter. And he's been told by various people he should become a Unitarian. But he says the trouble is that Unitarian churches that I've attended are overwhelmingly white, elderly congregations and lacked the wide range of activities for adults and kids that he had found in his previous conservative church. He liked their core beliefs, justice, equity, and compassion. But he wants something that somehow it'll be a strong sense of community. I quote, "Kids need places to learn values like forgiveness. Schools focus on maths and reading. Young adults need places to meet a potential spouse. Adults with children need places to meet with other parents and some free babysitting on weekends. Retirees need places to build new relationships as their friends and spouses pass away. Our society needs places that integrate people across racial and class lines." And he talks in that kind of way about the real need for this sort of community. But he can't find it. And he dreams up the possibility that he'll run a church for the nuns. He'll create it. Listen as the pastor gives a sermon on tolerance or some other universal value, while briefly touching on whatever issues are in the news that week. A few more songs. A kids' service. Have the children do a reading. The end. An occasional post-church brunch. During the week there would be activities, particularly ones in which parents can take their kids. So he's got it. This is what he dreams up. Theologically, I'm comfortable being a nun, but socially, I feel a bit lost. Now, this is a really interesting analysis because there is no doubt that in New Zealand, as well as in the States, there is this striking phenomenon of people dropping out of church. Some statistics here. The New Zealand Attitudes and Values Survey has, for the last 20 years, done a series of very close surveys of trends happening in wider society. And their estimate is that the proportion of people going to church has halved in the last 10 to 15 years. And that figures with what I've seen in churches of various types. Over the past little time. And I've been involved recently in the Church Life Survey. Now, I don't think you've taken part in the Church Life Survey. Maybe it's just a bit too Christian for you, I don't know. But actually, it's been really intriguing because we've taken samples, and I think we're going to hit 20,000 people who will have answered these forms. Individual congregations choose to opt in, and they're told about the attitudes and values of the congregation. It just helps them to pin where they want to go in the future. And it's a vast range of churches, from Catholic to Salvation Army and everything in between. And the final question in the survey was, in your opinion, which of the following should be given priority in the next 12 months? And they were given 13 choices, and they could tick up to 3 of them. Well, I found this extremely interesting, and since I've had to write a summary of the report that's being prepared to be given to all the people who've done the survey, I've been writing about this during the course of the week. So I won't deal with everything from 13 to 5, but let me go upwards from 4, 3, 2, 1. So number 4 was encourage people to discover and use their gifts. A very popular one, I might say, among Catholics who often feel as though there's nothing for them to do in a congregation. But that was number 4, averaging across the 20,000 people. The third most popular was worship services nurturing faith, which is an interesting implication that people feel as though their services often are lacking that kind of theme. The second most popular, and more on the kind of evangelical end of the churches, was spiritual growth, that they wanted something for themselves, that they would grow spiritually. But the most popular choice, averaging across all the churches, not necessarily the top choice in every denomination, was build a strong sense of community in the local church. Now, that was a really striking choice of what people feel is most desperately the priority for churches. Now, let's not dismiss the other ones. I think it's enormously important that in our very secular world, there is a sense of transcendence. There is a sense that beyond our lives, our material experience, there's something else that will renew us, a spiritual renewal. And it's so interesting that people feel that the churches are failing a bit in that area. But it is extremely interesting that the search and the desire for community is so important. And reflecting on my own self, you have to understand that I've had a rather hilarious morning, because I went to the communion service at All Saints Ponsonby at 8 o'clock, which was followed by breakfast, which just happens once a month. So I went to breakfast and chatted to various members of the congregations, then hopped on my bicycle and went round. And the first Sunday of the month at Ponsonby Baptist is Communion Sunday, so they always start with morning tea first. So I went straight from breakfast to morning tea. And I left. The service had only been going for 10 minutes before I left to come along here. And I was intrigued at myself. Why had I placed a priority on which, you know, really it was largely social on what we were doing? But I figure, you know, there is something actually very spiritual in community. And maybe it is indeed that in communities of faith, that the real depth and reality of community is, well, its theological depth can be discovered when you realize that the reason why we can link with whoever and belong with whoever is precisely because of who we are in a world of transcendence. But the other side is this. I mean, you can see what is stealing community from us. I do think COVID, in a way, played a little part in this. Remember during COVID going out for walks and then crossing over to the other side of the road to avoid the other people? That curious sense of we needed connection, but we were robbed of connection. And there's a good deal of evidence, for example, that a lot of churches, older members, have stopped coming because they're too anxious about their health at the moment. And, I mean, the very nature of the frantic pace of life and working out how long you're going to be in traffic for anything that you choose to do means that we become, I think, increasingly reluctant. I find myself, you know, I'd love to have gone to the play like you did last night, but I find myself staying at home and reading books in the evening and just being by myself. It is most intriguing that also a further question in the survey asked people, have you found it easy to make friends in your local church community? And an intriguing proportion, about a quarter of the people in most church communities were not finding that at all easy to connect. And the simple fact is, those people are the ones who are going to disconnect. Because if there isn't a feeling of community, of connection between one another, then what, in a way, why would you stick around? You can do your spiritual bit at home by yourself if you can't relate to the people. But we do live in the kind of desperately materialist world where time for people, time to relate to others, is not regarded as a priority. And, you know, with many office people now working from home, a lot of people are actually missing out. Part of what makes us human, you know, part of what makes us human is the challenge of other people invading my space and actually understanding that grappling with them, connecting with them, is really important. But of course, I mean, part of the problem with church is that the connection seems to be conditional, you know. And especially in the booming conservative churches, you know, the boundaries are pretty tightly laid of who is acceptable and who is not. And I think for churches that have a more open approach to welcoming others, it's such a puzzle. I mean, you would think in the present time, the more liberal or more open churches would be booming. So why are they not booming? I mean, part of it, I'm quite sure, is that the liberal generation is aging. Simple fact is, the grim fact is, that younger folk are not as liberal-minded as a previous generation was. It's also probably true that the survival of churches in a world that doesn't need churches anymore, where there's no priority in our society on the respectability of religious faith or church attendance, means that in lots of ways, people are not going to treat church as a serious phenomenon, you know? And if kids don't grow up with this kind of pattern in their lives, they won't have it when they come to make decisions for themselves. I was fascinated. In the Church Life Survey, the average age of that 20,000 people was age 60. The average age for Anglicans, for Presbyterians, and for Methodists is 10 years older than that. I mean, in many of these congregations are doomed to die. I think it's very clear. There just isn't, there are not going to be the people around. Whereas it is very striking that the Catholic average age in Auckland is much lower, but that is largely because migrants are attending those churches. When you pull out the migrants, the average age of Catholics is much the same as everybody else. But the average age of the more evangelical churches tends to be lower, and because the kids are strongly affirmed. But that doesn't, of course, mean that there's not going to be a faith crisis somewhere along the line. So here is a significant puzzle, and I found this a provocative article on a Unitarian site by somebody you may be familiar with, I wasn't, John Halstead, and it's a website called Pray With Your Feet. Do you know it, Clay? Is it okay site? I don't know. Yes,
I would have no idea, but not being Unitarian.
In this intriguing article, he suggests that the trouble is for Unitarians that they're part way in people's journey. So they start in conservative churches. I mean, he's talking of the States, so this may be completely untrue in New Zealand. They start in conservative churches. They move to the point where they can't stand the conservatism, and they move to something like a Unitarian church. Or, I mean, it depends where they go. what we find at Ponsonby Baptist, for example, you know, quite a significant, and the same in St. Luke's Remuera, quite a significant number of people who want, especially on issues like sexuality, who want a place where people are open, and they can find the community that they're seeking for, a more honest community, in that kind of framework. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they have made a commitment to that space. I quote from Halsted, "What about the growing number of spiritual but not religious people?" And it's certainly another survey that I'm involved with, the Wilberforce survey, as it's called, which is going to get released also by the end of the year, has done a pretty reliable, careful survey of the New Zealand population. And it finds that of the nones, the people who tick no religion, which is likely to be in the coming survey about 70% of the population, I would guess, but half of those would choose spiritual, not religious. The other half, I hate religion or I want nothing to do with religion. But half are spiritual, not religious. Most of them have discovered, I quote Halsted again, they don't need a church to be spiritual. Unitarian Universalism offers a community where people can believe what they want and seek spirituality on their own terms. But most people don't need a church for that. They have the internet, they have yoga, they have Ofra, they have myriad ways to be spiritual that don't involve going to church. What's more, I'm quoting Halsted, I'd like to say, the Unitarian Church comes encumbered by many of the trappings of the dogmatic religions which the spiritual but not religious rejected. Steeples and bells, pews and pulpits, organs and 19th century dirge-like hymns and ministers. Now, I'm just quoting him, and that's his observation. I don't know. If Unitarian Universalism rejects most of the substance of dogmatic religion, we've kept many of its forms. At worst, these are uncomfortable reminders of a painful past for many people. At best, they're unnecessary accoutrements. Well, I mean, I am not a Unitarian, so I would not necessarily follow all of that anyway. But it is an intriguing thought that maybe the shape of the future church community is going to look very, very different. I doubt if we'll be able to afford all the buildings that churches have these days. You know, if Auckland City sooner or later will charge us the rates. Imagine what rates you would pay for this building. And you've all experienced this, presumably you have the same as we have, the enormous increase in the price of insurance for church buildings. You know, the cost of keeping a building which is not used for a huge amount in the rest of the week going becomes very, very challenging. But on the other hand, the richness of community, the development of that community, with all the fragility that comes when you get close to people and you get close to the uncomfortable aspect of their lives and behaviours, all of these are critical for healthy and good and wholesome living. And I think it's not just a longing, it's really a mandate for the future. If we truly are to have in our society healthy living, we need to ensure that there genuinely is the space for community. And it makes us, people in churches, a very important group of people for the well-being of our society. But, and you've got some questions to discuss that will raise this issue, how on earth do we get to live it and be it? That seems to me the challenge.
Let's give Peter a round of applause for that. Please join me in reciting the words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Our closing words today are by Eric Walker Wickstrom. If you are who you were, and if the person next to you is who he or she was, if none of us have changed since the day we came in here, we have failed. The purpose of this community, of any church, temple, zendo, mosque, is to help its people grow. We do this through encounters with the unknown, in ourselves and in one another, in the other, whoever that might be for us. However hard that might be, because these encounters have many gifts to offer. So may you go forth from here this morning, not who you were, but who you could be. So may we all. All right, today is breakout group questions. Please, in groups of no more than five. How strong is the Unitarian sense of community compared to in the past? And it's a double question. How open would the Unitarian community appear to newcomers?